I'm Emily Tackett, and this is Just So, a University of Oklahoma podcast about thought leaders in the heartland. We're having conversations with some of the brightest minds who are dreaming big, working hard, and paving the way to a brighter future. Our guest today has written and published more books than most people have read in their entire lives. How many books have you published?
I've published over 200. I quit counting. Every so often I will count. The last time I counted, it was 212, and I want to say that was either last year or the year before last.
He's a professional writing professor in the Gaylord College of Journalism and Mass Communication and teaches several courses. In one of them, he coaches students through writing a full-length novel. He's joining us on the show today to talk about creativity, tips for getting published, and what it takes to write commercial fiction. Hi, Mel.
Hello, Emily.
How's it going?
It's going great, Emily.
First off, can you just introduce yourself and say what you do at OU?
My name is Mel Odom. I'm a professional author. I teach in the Gaylord College professional writing program.
It's insane that you've written all those books and you're teaching on top of that. How do you stay creative? How do you continue to pump out ideas and complete these novels?
All you have to do in life to be creative is just show up. There's stuff every day. I look at news feeds and things, and I save off different articles. The article may be about a different topic, but it'll touch some kind of creative thing in me, and I'm thinking, there's a story here. And so everywhere I go, there's stories, and people look at things, and they just don't see anything. And for me, there's just tons of possibilities. So I don't know. People have always asked me how I'm as creative as I am. And I'm like, how can you not be? The world is so full of so many things.
What's the weirdest thing you've drawn inspiration from?
Oh, God, that would be there's been all kinds of things that, you know, perhaps I should not have drawn inspiration from. But I don't really know, because there's been plants that I would read about that only bloom once every 8 or 10 years. Just I go and a lot of things I subscribe to is science stuff. And there's a lot of weird stuff. Like there's a wasp that actually will fly into a caterpillar or an ant, and it will take over its brain. And so I went ahead and picked up a book on animals that live kind of a parasitic nature. And I will invent aliens that do that as well, too. So there's not anything too weird. So as far as me to find the weirdest thing, I don't know. There's a lot of weird things in the world.
It's all terrifying.
And it's all a paycheck if you hustle.
I love how you're monetizing wasps that yes. use mind control
yes.
to create books.
Yes. It's inspiration. And it's just like I tell my students in class, every heartbreak you've ever had, because I go, have you ever had some person break your heart? Well, yes. I said, that's a paycheck waiting to be cashed.
Sell your scars.
Sell your scars. Yeah, I told you that. Yeah. You remember that from class. Sell your scars. Every scar is a paycheck waiting to be cashed.
Oh, my gosh. I think, you know, for people who've had a heartbreak and for people in every industry, doctors, everyone, I think that anyone can dream about wanting to write a book.
Yeah.
But they just don't know how to do it. So for somebody who's always dreamed about it, what advice would you give them about publishing?
Read. Just read everything you get your hands on. Stephen King will tell you that too. And especially in our world that we have today, everybody's a consumer of fiction, but they don't pay attention to process. And if you watch little kids when they go see a ballet dancer or a baseball player catching fly balls out in the outfield, they will mimic whatever they see. They'll mimic a ballerina's move. They'll mimic an outfielder's move catching a baseball. So if you read, you will mimic, because you'll think, I could do this in my story. My character can say this. I can describe that scene like that. So read, and you're going to self-teach, even if you go to classes and stuff like that. I am a total autodidact. I taught myself all the writing. I was an English major and a history major with a dual degree. And just the writing, nobody taught writing back when I was in college. So at least nowhere near where I was. And so I had to self-teach, because the English department stuff was not anywhere close to what I wanted to do. So I had to self-teach. But if you're going to write, read. It doesn't matter, because it's putting words together in your head and you learn that skill.
How do you go through the process of actually sending in a manuscript? Does traditional publishing still happen, or are people just moving more towards self-publishing?
Traditional publishing is extremely hard these days, because they want you to have a platform and an audience. Because if you're a new writer walking in, unless you've written a killer book, and no one can define what that is. Nobody, the publishers, you can even try to pin them down and go, what are you guys looking for? And they don't know. So what they want is a sure thing that'll make a ton of money. So finding that, if you have a Twitter feed, you know, with thousands of people, probably can get a book deal done if you can finish it. So that, you know, somebody wants to write has that. But in order to work in New York these days, you have to write a book and finish it. Even if you have a big platform, you'll have to show them a finished book, because anybody can want to write a book. Not everybody can. You've been in classes and saw how hard it was on people. And I can tell you, over 200 books later, it does not get any easier. By having written over 200 books, I have merely learned how to write a novel 200 different ways. It's all a process. If you want to get started in New York after you've had things published, you still have to do a 50-page proposal where you actually outline your book and write usually the first 50 pages of the book to sell it.
That's crazy. But you're seeing a lot of young authors having to build up a fan base on social media before they even try to get published.
Yeah. And the New York people want you, even if we've been in the business for a while, they want to know that you got Twitter. They want to know that you're on Facebook. They want to know that you got Instagram and all this stuff. And they want you to use it. So they used to have a marketing department that actually took care of that for authors. And they kind of do, but not really in some ways, because they want you to bring it in and they'll refine it and make it better.
Dang. That's a lot of responsibility.
It's gotten harder. They have cut down the people that work in the publishing houses. So in order to do that, you've got to do more. The agents these days are pretty much your first reader. They'll read your book, decide whether or not it's good, and be able to go to the publisher with an informed opinion. Used to, that was not the case. They had first readers at the publishing houses. Those people no longer work there.
Out of all the stories that you've written, which has been your favorite?
The favorite is the one I'm going to write next. I haven't screwed it up yet. So there's always, once you've written something, I make a deal with myself. Once it's published, I don't ever look at it again, because I want to take a red pencil to it and fix the things that somehow got by me and got by the editors. But because I never feel like I'm good. You know, I've written over 200 books and I never yet have gotten to where I felt like I was really good. The book that I really hold to my heart, there was a book I did called The Rover that I wrote in 2001. And in 2002, it won the Alex Award for National Library and American Library Association. And that was a big award. I didn't even know what it was. And my editor had to tell me, he goes, Mel, you won the Alex Award. I said, great. What is that? So Brian explained it to me. And I felt good about that. They gave me a disc, which I keep in my sock and underwear drawer, because that's the only place a dad has that's sacred that no one else would get into. But the thing that really worked for me, my son Chandler was born in 1997. And he likes fantasy now, but I wrote it and there's a dedication in there to him, which every time I read it, it just brings a tear to me because it meant a lot. And Chandler, it was in his junior high school. He was looking for stuff to read and he actually found that book in the library. And he knew that I wrote it because kids were teasing, going, your dad wrote this book. And so Chandler took the book and read it, and it's still his favorite book. And he told me that. And he would even read parts of my book to me, which is kind of cool because I'd forgotten what I wrote. But that's my favorite book. And it's not so much because of the writing, but because of what it means to me and that kid.
What's the hardest part about trying to teach college kids how to write fiction and how to write novels?
Getting them to put their devices down. So I've given that fight up. I see every so often when I have kids who read in class, because they'll read from their stuff, I make them put all their computers away and their phones away. The biggest part of teaching college kids to write is the same thing that's teaching anybody to write. Have enough confidence in yourself to actually approach that blank page, tell the story you want to tell, and finish it. Because it has to be all of that together. Because if you quit any time during that process, it's not finished. And it's still being able to get somebody else to believe in you when they can't believe in themselves. So as a teacher, it really helps sometimes. They look at me like a mentor sometimes, and I'm going, okay, you really got to do this because it's good. And then there's other times I get to be the teacher and go, you really got to do this because it's due and you've got a grade dependent on it. So the carrot and the stick.
Yeah.
But a lot of the kids can believe in me during the time that they're working through something that's very hard for them and they're having to learn new things.
How has writing stories about fictional characters taught you more about how people behave in real life?
Fictional characters are not real. They're not like everybody. So when you write a fictional character, actually able to focus on a trait or an emotion or a way that a person is, so you can actually learn about it because you can write it and feel it and recognize it and understand it better. I think, with fictional people. And there's a lot of psychology books being written now, the psychology of fiction, that if people want to understand each other, they need to read fiction more, because they get to try on emotions they've never had. They get to try on relationships they've never had. I think writing fiction helps you isolate the things you don't understand and really work on it to where you can understand them.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Emily.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Just So is produced by me, Emily Tackett, and Drew Bernard. Artwork by Amy Azier. Follow OU's official Twitter, U of Oklahoma, for updates and new episodes. Also, we'd love your feedback, so don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. We'll see you next time.